time for Nerdy for 30, the podcast where we talk about nerdy-ish movies for 30-ish minutes. My name is Kevin Bauer, a.k.a. The Critic's Choice. With me, as always, the people's champ, Mr. Tim Keck. And today, yes, we are talking about the action, thriller, comedy, horror, Abigail.
I like this movie, man. I had a good time. I had a good time in the theater. It's dumb. It's bloody. It's gory. I wouldn't say scary necessarily, but it's like, it's cool. I like the actors. It's fun. I had a good time at the movies. Is it incredible? No, but I had a great time. I had a great time watching this, Kevin. What did you think?
Same here, man. I really dug it. I mean, this is like tonally exactly what I'm looking for in like a action comedy or a horror comedy.
Yes.
I think, honestly, like, everybody's really worried about what the Blade movie with Mahershala Ali is going to be like. If this is the tone and, like, the caliber of action and stuff that they go into that movie with, I think we're fine. It's not going to be, It's not going to be Wesley Snipes. It's not going to be the Wesley Snipes Blade. Disney's got it. Like, it's going to be very different. But, like, I think what we got in this is, like, it's like a fun action comedy romp. And I dig it.
The Blade thing is coming out of left field for me and I hate it, but I do. But this is exactly the kind of tier of, I'll say, horror that I really like.
Would you say this is, I don't think this
Google
is a horror,
says horror
at
slash
all.
Thriller. I don't think it's either of those.
But I don't know, dude. I thriller. I could kind of see if they hadn't blown the vampire reveal, this totally could have been a thriller.
Yes. Okay. So this was a definite take I had, and I think this is a win for hashtag no trailers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm hashtagging. Do people hashtag anymore? We don't hashtag
not
shit.
Not a single human being.
Team no trailers. We're going to make shirts. We're going to sell them. We're going to start a foundation. We're going to get them banned. See, the trailer is just a filthy marketing trick where they don't care if you enjoy the movie at all. They don't care if you like Abigail. They just want to sell a ticket. So what do? They give away something that ends up being like the first 30 minutes of the movie is teasing what's wrong with this girl when we all know it's a vampire because that's what the trailer said. Yeah. And that's infuriating a little bit. Like, I know that's the marketing. I know that's just the capitalist system we live in nowadays is exploiting the movie, exploiting the own product just to move units. But I think we were both talking about, if you go in blind to this, way more fun.
Oh,
it'd be so funny to convince somebody this is a mob movie and then just set them up for this to completely go off the rails. This could have been more fun if I hadn't seen the trailer and I'd known even less about it. But it was still a good time, man.
Yeah. Oh, big time. I think, like, honestly, this might even be a situation. Look, having any hard opinion in the year 2024 is just a slow descent into extremism. So I think you might need to ride that no trailer train all the way into no posters, maybe even no movie titles on this one, because the poster has her as a vampire, right? She's like showing her teeth in the poster, I'm pretty sure. I haven't looked at the poster much. I got to look this up now. I'm going to pull it up in the background. So we have that. And then the title of the movie is Abigail. So we already know that there's going to be something going on with the girl. I feel like if this were the movie that they were trying to sell us in the beginning and it was called Abigail, we know that something is up. In the poster, she's looking up at the camera. In one version of the poster, she's got like a red rim around the outside that looks very bloody. The poster itself, like the word Abigail is in red and the two eyes look like fangs. And she doesn't have the glowing eyes or any fangs bared, but she does have a blood splatter on her dress. So like you can tell that something's up.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. This is like right in a tier of movie that I love, which is like a hide and seek, a Happy Death Day, and the kind of movie that I've seen a ton. Or what's her favorite? What's the one that
Ready
Catherine Newton is in? Freaky.
Oh, Freaky.
Great.
Dude, I was gonna say Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You and Freaky all exist in that perfect little pocket of like this tone. I'm so excited you said that because I do feel like this now fits into that same tonal universe.
And those, all those movies to me are incredibly rewatchable.
Yes.
Just great background movies where they have scenes where you sit up and you want to watch. And then the rest of the time, it's just a good vibe. It's casual, but scary and fun. And again, maybe not horror, but it does have those elements of, it's just exciting. It's like an exciting action-y movie. And I think this hits all those things. And I'm definitely going to be watching this again, just having it around. Did you know who all these actors were? Because it really felt like a thing of, it felt like the kind of thing where we're supposed to be impressed with this like crew, mm-hmm. But they're all like kind of recognizable. I don't know who Agnes Cloud is.
No.
Or Dean.
Oh, Angus Cloud. I think he's a Euphoria guy. I never watched Euphoria. I only heard about him because I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but I only heard about him because he passed away.
He passed away and he's in this movie?
Yeah, this movie is in loving tribute to, it was in loving tribute to Angus Cloud. And then you turned and you were like, this is exactly the kind of movie that I would want in loving tribute, which is a very funny take. Tim's take was if an in loving tribute to Tim Keck was on an Oscar winning film, he would be so upset.
Oh my God. If like somebody's standing up and giving an acceptance speech, I don't want it. I don't want it. I want, you know, disappointed faces at premieres, like with my name on it. You know, I want dumb stunts. I want Catherine Newton to be the face of whatever it is that I am in memoriam for. Kevin Durant. It was just, and then at the very end, Matthew Good shows up. Am I supposed to be excited about Matthew Good? That felt like a real reveal, because it is a reveal. They're the whole time they're talking about this guy. And at the very end of the movie, he shows up and I didn't feel anything. I felt like I was supposed to, though. Did you care?
Yeah, I've never watched Downton. Lauren knew who he was and was excited because she has watched Downton Abbey. Okay. I've never seen it. To my knowledge, I've never seen that man before. So it was really anticlimactic. It felt like this experience that I've had when watching old movies from like the 70s before, where if you watch the Muppet movie, there are so many celebrity cameos in that movie, but so many of them aren't celebrities anymore. They were just celebrities in the 70s and have fully aged out for our age range. So like, the example that I always get from that movie is there's a point where they're like in an old saloon and they hear the voice of the bartender say something like, "Can I help you, boys?" And it's such a slow pan that starts with a hand wiping down the bar. And then the camera follows up the rag that's being wiping and the rag is thrown across the shoulder of a man I've never seen before in my entire life. This is the same thing.
It feels exactly like that. And I was wondering if this is over, you know, if I guess things like Muppet Movie are always like spamming the celebrity cameo.
Yeah.
But are we just like, because there's so much different media and it's so spread out and we're kind of getting away from the monoculture of celebrity. Are we losing? Is the number of people that could have been a good cameo at the end of this greater or smaller than it was maybe in the 70s? I guess is my question. Is Matthew good as we're going to get in this kind of tier of movie with this kind of tier of cameo? He's like a guy who's on a Netflix show.
It does feel like it's getting smaller. I think the smart move, though, it feels like it's getting smaller overall. It feels like what they need to do is go with somebody that's a celebrity in that space and just really drill it down so it's more genre specific to this audience. So if they had put, I'm trying to think now who's a person. If it was Danny Trejo, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
If they had gone with someone who was like an action movie star, fucking, can you imagine if it was Statham? If the camera pans up on Statham, how insane you would have gone.
Okay. That's a different vibe. What about The Conjuring? Who's that guy?
Oh, Patrick Wilson. I would have gone nuts. That would have been so sick.
Patrick Wilson would have been crazy.
Yes.
You're telling me Patrick Wilson wouldn't do this at the very end? Mm.
No, he needs to. Patrick Wilson's the ideal horror protagonist. He needs to be in all kinds of this stuff. Like, we need to get more out of him while we have him in this state. He can't just be doing Aquaman. He's got the Aquaman money. We need to save him from the depths of the ocean at this point.
Yeah, it'd be amazing to have him in there. I mean, we need some celebrity royalty. We need some horror royalty. You're right. We need more genre specific things. Even though, yeah, I guess he's the best that comes to mind. But yeah, man, this is cool. This was a badass movie. I'm glad Catherine Newton had something to do that wasn't Ant-Man 3. Always sure. been a fan of hers. I love the turn. I love that she's like turned into a vampire and possessed. That's kind of cool. I love that she has to kill her best friend, Peter. And I love that
Elon Musk looking motherfucker.
Yeah. He's just a bloated, the bloated corpse of Elon Musk. And I don't want to, I mean, he looks like Elon, but he is, I take him over Elon any day. I mean, he's funny. Yeah. He's charming. He's great. He's awesome in this. He's somehow a sympathetic gunman, you know, or what do they call him? Like a muscle head or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think just the muscle, right?
The muscle where he's just, I'm going to go kill this little girl. And he's like, he feels bad about it. And he's like apologetic. He's like, I'm just trying to do my job. He like tries to put a bullet in this girl's head. Love it. Somehow I feel bad for him, even though he's clearly a terrible person. They're all terrible people. And I like at the end how the twist bad guy, the kind of Jeffrey Dahmer looking MF-er, at the end becomes a vampire and then tries to possess somebody. And then the girl Abigail is like, you got to be a vampire for longer than that to learn all the cool shit. And it was weird, kind of undercuts everything. But also for this tier of movie, it's an incredible commentary on how a lot of these movies go, which is you talk about all the time is the vampires shift, in day shift.
Yeah.
Have they just learned Kung Fu? Maybe the second you become a vampire, you learn Kung Fu. It happens all the time. The second you achieve a thing, you suddenly get abilities associated with that. And it would make sense that he doesn't know how to do the thing after watching her do it. I don't even know if he watched her do it. He just saw it kind of like half-assed, put it together in his mind. But it makes sense that he doesn't know how to do it. It's like real logic being applied to this fictional scenario.
It's honestly, it's the exact same approach with which I go into home improvement projects. I'll watch like half of a YouTube video on how to do it. Be like, all right, I got this.
Yes.
$50 at Home Depot later. I'm like an hour into something that I'm never going to finish.
Well, hopefully you didn't need it.
Yeah. You know, all this stuff is optional.
Yeah.
Man, yeah, I really like Dan Stevens in this. I was ranting and raving about him in the Godzilla X Kong The New Empire podcast that we did.
Oh yeah.
Same guy.
Oh my gosh, that's this the dude's same a blast, guy. Man.
I'm telling you. He was on my short list for Mr. Fantastic. He was up there with like Dev Patel and honestly Bill Hader. I thought like there was like a really interesting pool of people that could have been picked from, but Dan Stevens, I think would have really done it. I think it was Matt Smith's game to lose, but I think he turned down the role. So I think Dan Stevens was like my next favorite after him.
Man, Dan Stevens is like too fun to be Mr. Fantastic though.
I think he can turn it off. What do you think? he was a lot colder in this than he was. He was so fun in Godzilla.
Yes, he was fun in Godzilla. He just has, I don't know, he just seems like a bigger character than a Pedro Pascal or something like that.
Sure.
I feel like Pedro's more subdued, or at least can be more subdued, you know?
Yeah.
But Dan Stevens is great. I mean, get him in the MCU. Get him in there. Do it. Why not? Man. What else are we doing?
Were you shocked by the Giancarlo Esposito still alive reveal?
No, because... Really? It's Giancarlo Esposito. I don't know this guy. I've never said that guy's name before in my life, but he was like the only person I did recognize. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way he just sets this up and then leaves. He will be back. He has to be. That role is insane otherwise.
I was all about it. I was like, get the paycheck, dude. Let's go Gus Fring.
You really thought that was it? You thought he was just walking off screen and going home, sitting in his new pool?
Tim, we live in a world where Anthony Hopkins did 15 minutes of VO for 2 Rebel Moon movies and probably bought a lake house with it. Like, yeah.
But he was a quote unquote character and had like was thematically through it. He was a recurring voice in it. He narrated the story. There's a reason why he's involved. And I think Giancarlo Esposito is at least. Is he the most famous person in this?
I think so. Honestly. Maybe? Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be. Fucking everybody watched Breaking Bad. And I think he's in Better Call Saul, too. Like, yeah, I think he's probably the number one person in this.
Yeah, I'd be curious to know what our listeners think, if he's the most famous person in this movie or if it really is Matthew Good or somebody like that. But he stood out to me as somebody being different.
Yeah, I did want to ask you about that, too, because since this isn't necessarily a lineup of stars, not that they weren't good. I thought everybody was a good actor in this movie. But I didn't buy any of the people on the criminal crew as criminals in the slightest. Like, not even a little bit. None of them seemed like they actually would do any of this shit. Do you think this movie would have benefited from people who seemed shiftier? Like, people that aren't normally protagonists of movies? Like, if you drafted in a couple people that played, like, background muscle in action movies and stuff?
See, I bought it. I bought it with all these guys. Agnes Cloud, sure. Yeah, he's, like, skeevy and kind of like creepy in this movie, and they're saying he's a sociopath. Kevin Durant, he could kill people. I 100% believe that. William Catlett or whatever playing a sniper, I 100% understand he's a sniper. And Dan Stevens is crushing it. I mean, he had Dahmer vibes to me for sure. Those glasses were doing a ton of work, a ton of heavy lifting in this movie, and he looked like a real creep who would just murder a kid if he had to. So yeah, I kind of bought it. I kind of thought they were good. Kind of think, you know, for this kind of movie, this is a pretty solid crew they assembled, and I enjoyed it. But you didn't think it was, you thought you like all of these characters so much that you didn't think they'd be criminals? Or is this just your kind heart opening up too early?
I think it's my kind heart.
You're
too trusting,
you're just ready to get hurt again.
Well, I think it's a tell. I think if you, I think if you're trying to do what this movie, at least when it was being written, was trying to do, you have this lineup of people that you think are like hardened criminals. And then they turn out to be the protagonists. They're going to be the protagonists of the movie, but they turn out to be the people who are being victimized in the movie in a way. And so that is a surprising twist. I'm thinking about like think about the crew. These people weren't charismatic, but think about the movie Violent Night and the crew of people who are dressed up as like elves and stuff that are attacking the family in that movie. Those are all people that Reed is like bad people. They are believable to me in that role. Like, they all kind of seem like they wouldn't necessarily be protagonists in movies. So I think it might preserve what's interesting about the twist of the movie a little better if the lineup of the crew seems more like they would traditionally be villains in other movies. And maybe we think that Abigail is kind of the protagonist of the movie. And then we get that turned on our head.
See, I don't know. I that's interesting. The idea that she's the protagonist, but she's not presented like the protagonist. It's clearly Joey in this is the protagonist. And I do appreciate these movies where you are rooting for bad people. And I think part of the fun in this, at least for me, is that I'm charmed by and want to spend time with these characters that are lowlifes. Sure. I mean, they're all terrible. I will say one of the things I don't appreciate as much is that the one person who survives and keeps going is actually redeemable. And oh, she did these terrible things, but her heart's in the right place. I kind of would be OK if she had just abandoned her kid or just done the bad thing and maybe has a coming like she does kind of have an arc in this where she comes to realize that she needs to do this thing, but she's still viewed as a good person. And maybe it'd be interesting to play that even less, because I like Kevin Durant, and he's just a murderer. That's just his thing. He just kills people, and I still enjoy hanging out with him. You know, I like the idea I like the idea of the hacker too, where it's just rich girl looking for fun. I think that's kind of interesting. I kind of dug this crew, man. I enjoyed hanging out with them.
Word.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, speaking of that, with like the crew being the protagonists and the potential of framing Abigail as a protagonist, the girl that played Abigail was so good.
She was great.
Like, this ruled. How old is she? Because there's a scene where she's dancing with a prop of a headless corpse. And I was like, is this girl old enough that this isn't going to traumatize her?
Oh, she's 14.
Oh, okay. She's fine.
That's wild, though. She's 14 playing a 12-year-old girl that's actually hundreds of years old. Love it.
I thought she did great. I got, most of the time, I got like Jamie Lee Curtis vibes from her. There were some things that she did that were really interesting acting choices, and thought she was awesome. I'm excited to see her hopefully in more like action comedy stuff like this.
Yeah, she was super fun. She did a great job. And I did love watching her get body slammed into the ground a few times. I don't know why it's, I guess it's because she's a vampire and she's hundreds of years old that in the character, I'm like, oh yeah, if you just went up to this actress and hit her, I feel like that would be absolutely traumatizing and horrible to witness. But once it's established that she's a vampire and she's so mean and awful and has these fangs and is like surviving getting shot in the head, and also she's fighting this antagonist who's so much worse, there were just the final fight where they're grappling with Dan Stevens was awesome, I thought, and just so brutal. And I don't know, I kind of dug it. I kind of think if you have characters that are invincible, you should be taking advantage of that and proving that, you know, they are pushing it to the limit. Push it. Let's see it. Let's see somebody land on their head and get beat up or stabbed with something. I thought for sure when that Joey character was like stabbed through that she was going to pull herself off of the thing. But then he pulls her off. I mean, it was cool. There were just a lot of awesome fight scenes in it and situations. Do you have like a favorite that stands out to you?
This fight scene was so intense. The moment that took me the most off guard, and I think was like the most purely enjoyable for the shock factor and the comedy factor of it, was the moment where they use the serving platter to shine sunlight onto Catherine Newton and she just fully explodes. And there's no, like, I've seen that scene a million times where the person starts smoking and there's like a slow, I'm thinking about like The Mummy, where it's like the person just slowly melts and screams. And like the shock and comedy of her just immediately instantaneously exploding was like, what the fuck? That, like, that tone was so funny. And yeah, I really, this movie was like, it had such a clear idea of what it was. And I think that's another thing that it has in common. Like you mentioned, Happy Death Day and Freaky, where it's like, and you mentioned Hide and Seek. Have you seen Ready or Not?
Yes.
Are those different movies?
I love that one too. Maybe I'm thinking of Ready or Not when I'm thinking about it, but family forces girl to play a trick on her wedding night, play a game on her wedding night, whatever that one was.
I think Ready or Not, right? Yeah. I think, which is the same team. It's the same people that made Abigail.
Yeah, that's a great, that's just a sweet spot tier wise of movies and fun. To your point about the vampires exploding, I do love that. That's awesome. I think it's even more awesome because, they're talking about her weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Trying to analyze what do we know about vampires? Garlic. And then they show a scene of her grabbing the garlic, crushing it, throwing it away. What was it? And then the cross, she takes a guy's cross necklace and it's small. I mean, it's a necklace and she stabs him like 50 times with it in the chest.
That was
absolutely
insane.
Brutal. And it's not the kind of thing that would kill this guy because he's huge and it's so small, but it would hurt so bad. And it's like you could bleed out eventually, but it was just so brutal. And so none of this stuff is working on her. We have nothing that'll stop her. I guess the wood stake would have worked, right? They kind of got the wood stake thing going.
Oh, yeah, because that's what did Gus Fring.
Yeah, that got Giancarlo was the stake. Even though, how did they know that? What did they get? They did somebody else with the steak, maybe, but so it's just steaks and sunlight. And if you've eliminated all these other things, it's cool to like crank up the explosion then until to like compensate for this lack of other weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, it's a super fun choice.
Yeah. When you find something that's finally effective, it is super effective.
Right. So then why aren't they just standing in the sunlight all the time? They could just hang out in the sunlight the whole time. Also, the main like point of sunlight is in that great round room where they're having this fight. And there's a giant window that sunlight's shining through. Could you break through the window? That was my thought. They're in the basement. There's windows that the light comes in. It's like, well, break one of these, like get out this way. I don't know. I feel like the second I see sun, it's like, that's the way we should go.
Yeah. Yeah. They would have just brushed it off and said that it's like hurricane glass or something, like something they could never break through and there's nothing they can use to break it.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need them. I want them to stay in there. I want them to keep struggling in this horror movie.
Would you say that's your biggest beef, is that they didn't walk straight for the sunlight?
Yeah. There's a part of me that felt that the windows were obvious exits. And they do a good job of eliminating all of the other exits, that when sun finally comes streaming into the basement, to not explore that or at least not cut that off was a little bit of a bummer for me. Honestly, it took me out of it. I mean, they take everybody's phones. They do everything else that you could want to do. You guys are locked in here. There's no way out. All that good stuff. And that was like a little break in the reality that was a little bit of a bummer. Otherwise, it was cool. It was sweet.
Word.
I did also like Abigail just ripping out of the cage they had
her in. That was so cool. Great.
So cool. Man, you got any beefs, Kev?
I think my biggest beef with this movie is probably that for a split second, they made us think, theoretically, if we hadn't had the vampire reveal spoiled, they made us think that the plot of the movie might be that one of the mob boss's assassins is one of the members of the crew. At the very least is in the house, at most is one of the members of the crew. And that is an awesome movie that I don't think we're ever going to get to see. And I think my biggest beef is just that we're not going to get to see that. I would love to see what this movie was faking to be before the vampire showed up. Because there's a lot of meat on that bone. Like, if we could just get an alternate version of this movie where it's like, they just keep going with that idea. Man, what a cool idea. What was the character's name again? The like hitman? It was like...
Rickles?
Oh, yeah. Was it like Mr.
Navy SEAL guy?
Mr. Riggles? No, that's from...
Don Rickles?
Yeah, Don Rickles. There you go.
There was the Marine guy. And then Joey, the lead, was like an Army medic or something.
Oh, but the name... They gave a name for the hitman that the mob boss allegedly has. We later learn is Abigail, but like...
Yeah, it was another great old-timey vampire name.
Yeah.
That was pretty solid. So that's great. I mean, you're right. That's an amazing premise. I think it does make the movie cool because, again, if you're watching it without the vampire thing, I'm on board for that. And then they just turn it into something else that I'm also on board for.
Yeah.
It's just either way this movie shakes out, I'm here for it. I'm enjoying it. You're right. A bunch of assassins... A team locked in a room, killing each other. There's something there. There's something there. What's the motivation then? Why would they do that?
Why would they do what?
Why would an assassin working for a mob boss join a crew that has to rob somebody and then kill them all in a house they're locked inside of?
Because they know it's the easiest way to take down the people. It's the easiest way to get a hold of this crew.
Yeah, we're catching the crew by infiltrating and then assassinating all of them.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
Yeah, I do it, but I didn't realize that everyone did it.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, I do it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Do we both infiltrate this podcast to take the other person out?
Jesus, dude.
That's a movie right there.
Somebody gave me your name 3 years ago.
It's the long con.
But yeah, we do all of our pods separately. That first time, whenever we eventually do a pod together in the same room, it's lights out, pal.
Podcasting assassin. That's got to be something. What if there's like an assassin going around and then podcasting about their life and you just don't know who this person is?
Wow.
But they're like, hey, I'm in Vienna about to assassinate a prime minister. It's a sunny day. I had a baguette, an entire baguette that I ate like a beaver, just like chomping through the middle of it. And you know, anyway, you see this Kendrick Lamar Drake beef, and then
the idea of an assassin or a hitman that has a social media presence is so funny. Like, to have somebody be known as a hitman, like, oh, the famous hitman is here, and then everybody gets worried about it. It's like the scene in, I think it's John Wick 2, when John Wick shows up in Italy and the guy at the Italian, the concierge at the Italian hotel is like, please tell me it's not the Pope.
Honestly, like the most badass line ever.
So funny.
Please tell me it's not the Pope. That is crazy too, because it just assumes that the Pope's dead if it is the Pope.
Yeah. You can't stop.
They're just like, this guy is inevitable.
Which, all the hits just cost like one of the coins, right? Like, you can just use one of the coins on a hit. So somebody could just like hold one coin up and be like, Pope, and just give it over to him.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy. You know, I think it's pretty easy to hire someone to murder somebody. I mean, Boeing does it all the time.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. It can't be that hard.
Yeah. Boeing's just got John Wick on the payroll at this point.
Yeah. Do you think they have an assassin on salary, or do you think it's like, they have to like find somebody every time? Do you think it's like they're like an assassin, but then there's somebody who's like labeled a consultant, and they have to go to like the monthly meetings, you know, like they'll do, like, everybody works remote, but then they have a monthly on site. And so then the assassin has to show up to the monthly on site,
like, oh my, make small God.
Talk with people, talk to HR.
That's so I thought about this before with like corporate espionage. Like, have you ever had to go through like a corporate espionage training session for your work where it's like, make sure that you only use approved keyboards because somebody could install a keylogger, or like, make sure that you never leave your computer open on your desk because somebody could grab it. Like, looking around meetings like that and trying to determine who I think the espionage person might be, doing the same thing, but like, which one of these people is the corporate hitman?
Yeah, looking around the meeting like, who's the reason we need 2-point verification?
Yeah.
Why do I have to get a text every time I log into my company computer? It must be someone's fault. It's someone in this room.
Oh, Jesus, that's funny. I think the worst thing about like the Boeing the Boeing situation is that like any money at all would be going to a hitman instead of just making better planes. Like, just take that money, put it right back into making sure that all the bolts are screwed in. You don't need a hitman at all.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, a hitman can't be as it has to be way more expensive to make good planes, right? Making a plane has to be incredibly expensive. And how much money does an assassin need to kill some rando in a car in a garage?
You got to imagine that a lot of them do it out of passion, you know, like, you got to imagine that, like, one of those things where it's like cops and criminals end up having like the same psychological profile just because they're like fascination with the law. You got to imagine there's like a similar overlap for hit people and like serial killers.
Yeah. And there's got to be some upstarts who just kind of come in and underbid everybody.
Sure.
Just because they want to get the job.
Yeah. You know? Trying to make a name for themselves.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody the other day about like some photography gig, and somebody came in and basically underbid everybody. And now all the photos look like trash, but the company that hired him doesn't care because they're like, well, we saved half the money we were going to spend on this. Mm-hmm. So now all the photos look terrible. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess they could do that with assassins when the salary guy comes in, and then he has to have like a meeting with HR and talk about how he's being undercut. And man, I'm also okay, now I'm just getting way off track, but I know a lot of companies did some corporate reshuffling during COVID.
Sure.
And I'm just picturing having to let one of the assassins go during COVID and just being like, listen, this is a structural thing. And they're like, come on, you guys are making record profits. You can afford to keep me on. Because with any employee, right, like if we're pro employee on this podcast, or at least I am.
Sure. Famously.
Kevin doesn't care about the Kevin's
on
anti-union.
And come on now. Don't be saying that kind of stuff.
I'm just saying, you know, when you get older as an employee, old back in the day, companies used to take care of you, you know, and nowadays it's more common to cut people loose as they got older. You know, people used to get pensions, right, from companies, from businesses, and now we get a 401k that might match.
You know who's taking care of me right now? SAG-AFTRA, baby. I got a residual check in the mail today for 5 cents for a VO gig that I did in 2021. That's what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah,
King. Anti-union.
Hell yeah, take that to the bank.
I'm picturing
a 60-year-old assassin being fired during COVID and then replaced with like two 60-year-old assassins replaced, fired during COVID, record profits, and then they hire like a 30-year-old assassin to do both their jobs. Oh. And he's exhausted, but you don't have to pay, you pay him less.
Sure.
So he's making like half of what they make, but also he's overworked because he has to do the job of two assassins.
Yeah.
As just one person. And then they're just making, you know, a ton of money on top of it.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a tough market anyway, because they all know that AI is coming in a couple of years. Boston Dynamics is being very clear with their intentions.
Oh, my gosh. You see all those robots that you can't knock over? Like, just get one of them a gun. Dude. And all of a sudden, assassins are out of work.
There is a real robot dog that you can buy right now for a shockingly low price. This is available on the consumer market. It is a robot dog with a flamethrower for a face. You can look this up. This is real. It's like 20K. You can just buy it.
Wow. Okay. About to be a lot more burn victims on the street. Thanks, Kevin.
It's less than
any final
Bronco.
Thoughts on Abigail?
Oh boy. You know, I think that this is like an incredibly fun tone. We didn't end up circling back to the Blade discussion, but I personally would be happy if this was a tone that Marvel took with a new Blade movie, just because I'm aware that we're never going to get that like 1999, 1997, whatever it was, that classic Blade tone again. I think this is the best we can do now. And I like it. Tim, final thoughts.
It needs to be a little, Blade needs to be a tier above this. It just, if it's a Marvel movie, it needs to be a tier above this in quality.
30 seconds to define what you mean by that higher tier.
Probably like more violence, more graphic stuff, just jokes, just more higher production value, more
this
locations.
This was a bloodbath.
This was a bloodbath, but it was like a $20 million bloodbath. I want an $80 million bloodbath.
Okay.
At least $150 on a Blade movie. Give it to me.
You want a bloodbath
anyway,
house.
It. That's it about Blade. Yeah, a bloodbath house. A Blumhouse. A bloodhouse. A bloody elevator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this assassin movie that we're going to work on.
Yeah, dude. I love this.
The 60-year-old corporate assassins who are trying to assassinate the people that fired them and took their pensions and replaced them with a 30-year-old assassin who then has to fight them off.
Yeah.
That's the movie. Incredible. Book it. Don't even download this episode. Don't put it up. We're writing this thing. We're making money off of it.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
Team No Trailer shirts. Available now.
Hashtag it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This has been Nerdy for 30. We'll be back here again next week. Till then, stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.
Stay nerdy. Bye.